And you know, you could always call me anytime, you know that. They call me the emergency preacher, no problem. Yes, and I'm glad that the pastor is fine and he's not, you know, he's still alive. The last time I preached in Los Angeles a few weeks ago, somebody died, so they called me. So that's why I'm saying I'm glad that he's still alive. So that's how it is. But I'm so glad to come this morning and share the word. And I remember I asked Glenn Blue, well, how long I have? And he said, like, you know, usual thing, 25, 30 minutes. And then I said, yeah, I know, that's the American time. Yeah, but that's all right. Well, I know you had a lot of stuff doing this morning, but that's okay. God is good. Amen. Amen. I just want to just share a short like a story before I get into the word, you know, make you smile. So, you know, this young boy, he was, I don't know how old, maybe 7, 6, or 8. He went up to his father because he was thinking, I wonder how did I get here? How did I come by? So he said to his father, Dad, what? How did I get here? Where I came from? So Dad sat him down and said, okay, well, this is how you came. Thousands of years, you actually came from monkey. So, you know, the monkey, and then thousands of years down the line, then you came, man came. And you think about that, you say, wow, came from a monkey, eh? Mm. Then you say, you know, I'm going to talk to my mother, find out what, how did I come in this world, where I came from. So he went to his mom and said, Mom, where did I come from? How did I get here? And mom said, well, let me tell you something. Way back in creation time, there's a God who created you in his own image. God made you. Came from Adam and Eve. So that's how you came into the world. God, intelligent God, made an intelligent being. You came into the world. That's how you came, from Adam and Eve. And you say, wow. But Daddy said that I came from monkey. He said, Mom said, oh, that's his side of the family. I figure you'll laugh at that one. Let us pray. Father in heaven, give us a word from you, Lord, today. We're living in such a wicked and sinful world today. Help us, Lord, to walk with you. Bless your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to talk a little about what's going on today in our world and how, as Christians, how we should live this life, how we should deal with people. There's so many problems and so many things that is taking place in our world today, especially here in America. And as Christians, how should you deal with people? How should you go about this Christian life? I mean, there's so many things, there's so many different things that are taking place today. We have the homosexual lifestyle that is a law now that you must, you know, it's okay for two men to marry and two women. So how as Christian, how are you going to deal with these situations and so? And I think that, you know, I'll see if we can talk a little about some of those things as Christian. Our children who are leaving the church and leaving the family and getting into drugs and doing wrong things and so on. So glad to see these young people up here. But, you know, it's so many of these things that is taking place today. And as Christians, as parents, as brothers and sisters, as nieces and nephews, our families are doing so much wrong. How can we live among them and how can we counsel with them and so? But I'm here to tell you that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What do you say out there? He came to save lost men. And it doesn't matter what people do in life, brothers and sisters. You and I, as Christians, must have that special care, that special love from Jesus Christ. And you know, you cannot do it by your own strength. You cannot do it by your own feelings. And so you have to depend on someone else. And that someone else is Jesus Christ. Now, if you turn your Bibles to Isaiah, let's read a couple of scriptures here. Let's go into some word here. And our message, our short message, is called Let's Reason Together. Come now and let us reason together. Isaiah 1:18, and his scripture says that. We all know that. Come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as what? White as snow. So what Christ is saying to us this morning, okay, you have some problems, you have some heartaches, you have some things going on in your life. What he's saying to us, let us come together, let us get together. I want to reason with you. I want to talk with you. I want to help you with your problems today. I want to help you to overcome that problem that you have down the line there, that you with your brother, with your sister, with your mother, with your father, with your nephew, your nieces and uncles and aunts and so. Let us reason together, Jesus is saying. And also he's saying to you, doesn't matter what sin you have committed, doesn't matter how far you have gone in sin, it doesn't matter what you did in life, he's saying, I will make your sins as white as snow. In other words, just cast your sins and your problems to me and I will wash them and I will make it as white as snow. I remember when I first came to the United States and I wanted to see snow for myself. And I remember my father used to say, the Lord will use this text. He used to read this text and say, the Lord will make your sins as white as snow. So I wanted to see snow. When I came to Colorado for the first time as a visiting preacher, I wanted to see snow. And somebody took me up into the hills and the mountains up there. And I saw the snow for myself. And I picked up the snow and I said, here goes my sins. What do you say over there? He made them as white as snow. I love that. He also said, though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them as wool. I mean, Jesus Christ is willing, brothers and sisters, to clean us up. So now he cleans us up. He forgives us. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And now, as Christians now, those of us are those of people who have this problem of sin, how are we going to deal with helping them? You got to remember that all of us, the Bible says, have sinned against God. All of us have messed up. All of us have once was doing wrong. But now he cleansed us. He makes us whole. He washed us. He helps us. Now we need to help those who are suffering, those who are dying in sin. So you have your brother, you have your sister, you have your nieces and nephew, and you have your daughter, you have your son. They're doing wrong. As Christian brothers and sisters, as I was telling somebody this week, you don't beat them down there. You don't condemn them. That's the whole thing. As Christian, Jesus said, I came not to condemn, but I came to save. So Jesus Christ don't never condemn men and women, boys and girls. He came to save them. A time will come for judgment. We know all about that. But right now, Christ put us there, put us here, so that we can show forth. Let's read Isaiah 60. Let's turn to Isaiah 60. Let's read it over here. Isaiah 60. Hear what it says here. Isaiah 60 and verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is what? Come, and the glory of the Lord is what? Risen upon you. So Christ says, arise, shine, for thy light is come. The light of Jesus Christ has shone through you. Christ has baptized you afresh and made you whole. So he said, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord. You and I need the glory of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, when our families, when our brothers and our sisters and our families out there, our neighbors, our co-workers, when they see us, they should see the glory of God. They should see the glory of God, and they will come and ask us the question, what must I do to be saved? I want to be like you. And then you are able to tell them, you can be like Jesus. Jesus, you point them to Jesus Christ. That's what we have to do as brothers and sisters, because the Bible says in verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall what? Arise upon thee, and his glory shall be what? Seen in thee. The glory of the Lord should be seen in you, brothers and sisters. When you walk the street, when you talk to your brothers and sisters, when you're walking with somebody, they should see the glory of the Lord. You know, I'm a painter, a preacher painter, they call me, and I paint some big homes in Palm Desert, Palm Springs, Indian Wells. I paint for some of those rich people down there and so on. You know, and I always talking about the Lord and so on. But in my card, you know, it says, I'm the preacher painter. So one guy called me one time and he wanted me to paint his house. And he said, well, you know, I know that you're a preacher, but I don't really want you to be preaching to me, okay? I said, well, oh, no, I wouldn't do that. No, I wouldn't do that. I'll come and do my work. And that would be all right, no problem. So what I do, I just, walk in, but, you know, my life was just preaching. I never preached to him. I never tell him anything, but I let my light shine through Jesus Christ. What do you see out there? So the glory of the Lord should be seen in you. You don't have to always talking to people and telling them you need to stop, do that, and stop, do that. No. They should see the love of Jesus in you. That's the glory of the Lord, brothers and sisters. Your family, even your enemies, should see the glory of the Lord in you. Let them see the glory of the Lord. So we don't have to go around and beat people down the thing. And, you know, I believe, brothers and sisters, that the people, our families, those of us who are doing wrong and those of us who are sinning against God and those of us who are committing adultery and smoking and drinking and carrying on like that and partying down the road, those of us who are involved in sin, we don't have to go and beat people down no. Let them see Christ. Be kind. Be loving to your children and let them see Jesus Christ. You know, because those young ones who are acting up, those young ones who are doing a drug, they already know that you're disappointing. They know that you train them up in the right way, parents. They know that you're a Christian. They know what you believe. They know all these things. So why should I go and say, my daughter, I want to tell you today, if you don't straighten up, you're going to be lost in hell. If you don't straighten up, you're going to end up in prison. How many children today are in prison because mom and dad tell them you're going to be in prison one of these days? Lots of them. Somebody asked when they went to prison, they asked, let me see the hands of all those prisoners here today whose parents tell them one day they will end up here. And almost everybody put up their hands because our parents tell them they will end up in prison. That's not the way for us to train up our children. That's not the way to let our light shine. That's not the way to win souls to Jesus Christ. We have to have the glory of God. Let them see the kindness. Let them see Jesus Christ. And then they will come and ask us a question. They want to say, Mommy, Daddy, what must I do? But let's not condemn them. They're already condemned. Let's not beat them over the bush. They already got beaten up out there by the devil. The Bible says the devil is the accuser of the brethren. The devil accuse the brethren. So why should we accuse the brethren when the devil accuse the brethren? You got my point? So how can we deal with folks who don't believe like us? How do we deal with folks out there who believe some strange thing? How do we deal with folks who those two guys want to get married? How do we deal with those folks who want to just shack up? How do we deal? We have that grace. We got to have that love. And let the Lord change. Let the Lord come into our hearts so that they can respond to Christ. We don't win souls. Jesus wins souls. No, we're not. As I like to say, we have to respect. I respect your belief. I respect what you're doing. That doesn't mean I have to do it. But I respect you have a choice. Your choice, you decide to do wrong. If a man wants to go to hell, that's all right. Let him go to hell. I mean, I can't help it, but I could live the life so that he can see a better way. So we can't force anybody to do right. As Christians, we don't force people to do right. As Christians, we don't even force people to do wrong. We don't force people to do wrong. We don't force people to do right. We know that the judgment is there. Judgment will come. We know all that thing. But brothers and sisters, church members, let us as Christians live for Christ. Here it is. You don't have to turn the page. It's right there. This is Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord had anointed me to what? Preach the good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach liberty to the captive, and to open up the prison to them that are what? Bound. That's what the Lord came to do, brothers and sisters. To open the doors of the prison. You have a prison ministry, Glenn said. You're going to go there later on and talk to the people in the prison. That's what Christ wanted to give. He wants to anoint you with the power of God so you can go into the prison, open the door so that you can share the love of Christ with people. And when you share the love of Christ, let the Spirit of God do the rest. You can't do it. Because all our righteousness is like filthy rags. But we need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he covers us with his glory, with his righteousness, brothers and sisters. So yes, remember that. Share the love of Christ as you go. But never force men and women to do what is right. Live the life. And when you live the life, they will see Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes and Jesus, and he will give you the power. He will give you the victory to live above Christ, above sin. When you walk with Christ, brothers and sisters, you have to fix your eyes on Christ. Don't take your eyes off. You know, those of us who, anybody play golf here? Yeah. When you play golf, there's a little ball, and you put that ball down there, right? And you get the club and you put it next to the ball. You want to hit the ball straight, right? For you to hit the ball straight and in the right way, you have to keep your eyes on the ball. You got to keep the eye. You can't think about anything. Don't even think about your wife. Nah, your husband. Just keep the ball. Keep your eyes on the ball. And as you keep your eyes on the ball, if you take your eyes off the ball, you're going to miss it. Okay? So you have to keep your eyes on the ball. Now, if that little ball, if you can keep your eyes on the little ball and you hit that straight, what about the big God? If you keep your eyes on that big God, you're going to reach straight. What do you say over there? Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. And as you keep your eyes on him, hold on to him and he will hold on to you, brothers and sisters. Never give up. Never give up. Yeah. Revelation 22, as we talk a little more here, a time will come. If you worry about what's happening in the world today and you're wondering all about, as you go, as you do your part, as you witness, as you share the love of Christ, as you let your light shine, as a witness to the people and let them ask you the question, what must I do to be saved? At the end time, a time will come when the judgment will come. A time will come when people like Noah days, you don't have to worry about, I don't know why Christians worry so much. We worry about this young man, and worry about this sister, worry about this, and we worry, and sometimes we worry, and sometimes we get upset, and we get angry. I don't know why we should get angry if somebody don't want to do right. Christ don't want us to get angry, because if you get angry and angry and angry, you can sin. I know he said angry and sin not, but some people are so bitter and so hateful for that, because I don't believe like you, I don't do what you want to do. You don't, Christian, don't do that, brothers and sisters. You have to be a loving and lovable Christian, brothers and sisters. So don't get upset with the brother if you don't want to live right. Amen? I remember talking to a lady one time in here in Washington. I know her well from years ago. Missionary people, and I knew them. I know the daughter. So I was talking to the daughter, and she was talking about how what her mom did to her, and she was so upset and so angry, and her mom was in terms. Not, she said, I don't want to talk to my mom again. I mean, she's too, you know, I'm bitter against her. And I tried to encourage her. I tried to talk to her about the love of Christ. I tried to talk to her, you have to forgive your mom, and how can you cannot ask for forgiveness to God and refuse to forgive your mom. You gotta love, and you gotta do these things. And she said, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. Well, believe I, brothers and sisters, I believe you can do all things through Jesus Christ. Amen. You cannot do it with your own strength. You cannot do it with your own natural, carnal nature. You need the spiritual nature to be born again. And so you can love your enemies, and you can forgive your enemies, and you can forgive that husband and that wife and those children. You only can do it when you have the love of Jesus. Amen. Only when you have the love of Jesus. And she said, I can't forgive my mom. So I just remember the Lord just gave me this. I said, so, you know, she's a nurse, and I was talking to her in the emergency room, because I went to visit her, because I didn't see her for many years. So I went to visit her at the hospital, and I was in the emergency lobby. And I said to her, so, because she's a nurse, she works at the emergency room. So I said, so if mommy, let's say your mother, your only mother, let's say she end up emergency and she come here tonight. Let's say she come into the hospital. It was about 6 o'clock, I was talking to her that afternoon. Let's say she come by tonight, get sick, and the ambulance rush her into the emergency room here, and you are here. You mean you're not going to go and talk to her and so on? She said, no, I will just get another nurse to deal with her. That's what she said. You see, we can be so bitter. You know, somebody told me that, you know, hating somebody is like you drinking poison hoping that they will die. It's a serious thing. Being bitter is a serious thing, brothers and sisters. So she said, no, I'll get another nurse to deal with her. I just can't. The next day, she called me. She said, you wouldn't believe, mommy came in here last night. She came in an emergency. That was amazing. Mommy came in the emergency, so I said, what you did? She said, no, I got the nurse to take care of her. My brothers and sisters, that was about 2 years ago. Just about 4 weeks ago, that same lady, young lady, she sent me an email. She said, mommy committed suicide last night. Just 4 weeks ago. You know, and I think about those things, and I think about even me, because I knew the mother. And I remember went to her house, the daughter house, because that same time I was talking to her. I went up there and I visited the daughter. But, you know, I did not visit the mother. But, you know, I'm such a one, I always visit people. I just walk into your house and visit you. I mean, you know, I'm from the islands, you know what I mean? So it's not a big deal. You know, my wife always says, you're in America, you know, you're not in the... I said, yeah, but they don't know when Jesus will come, so why should I be calling them all the time? Jesus said, I'll come as a thief in the night. What do you sell there? So, I'll come into your house and I ask Sister Blue, I'll visit her and she, you know, got any food? Yeah, orange juice, anything, you know. So that's how I operate. So I try to go with the culture in America, but sometimes I just can't do it. I can't help it. Yeah, I know. The culture is something else, yeah, you know. But yeah, so I didn't visit the mother that weekend when I went up there. and it was close by. Her house was close. I just decide not to visit the mother. I mean, and I just stick with the daughter. But I think I didn't visit her because of all the stories and what's going on. And I know the mother used to talk to me about her problems with her husband and so on. So I just didn't want to go to two families at the same time. So I stick to one. But sometimes I think about it. I remember the same mother, that same lady. Things were bad. I remember she said to me, I need some help. And I remember I said to the daughter, you know, mommy needs some help. I want to give her some money. She said, no, never give. Don't give her anything. I thought of that now since she died. And I said, you know, I should just do what I'm supposed to do. I know it's America and the daughter and mother, and you could get into trouble if you do things against the daughter wishes and so on. But when I think about it, you know, but the whole point is, the mother was angry with the family. I mean, there was so much bitterness there. I mean, you're going to kill yourself. That's all. The devil is so mad. He's so glad when we hit people and when we're involved in wrong and sin. And the devil is so happy. That's why we should have the Jesus love. We need to have the Jesus love. We need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Need that Jesus love, brothers and sisters. So yeah, so as we close off here in Revelation 22, he said, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, thank the Lord, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Somebody said that, she is plain too holy, but thank God the Bible says, he that is holy and righteous when the Lord comes. And we are not talking about your righteousness. We are not talking about my righteousness. We are talking about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because when you accept Jesus Christ, he covers you with his righteousness, his right doing, and he sent you on, brothers and sisters. So the Bible says, those of us who are ready and meet to meet him, he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. But it says also, those who are filthy and those who are unrighteous, let them be unrighteous still, because Jesus is about to come back to take his people. And verse 12 says, and behold, I come what? Quickly, and my what? Reward is with me to give every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, according as his work shall be, not your own righteousness, not your own work, but the work of Jesus Christ. What do you say there? And then verse 14 says, blessed are they that do his commandment, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates, into the city. Jesus is coming soon. He's coming back. Believe it or not, he's coming. Ready or not, he's coming. Doesn't matter what you're doing. Doesn't matter what you're saying. He will come. And verse chapter 21 and verse 1 says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. What do you say there? I look forward for the day when Jesus shall come to put an end to suffering, to put an end to death. Because verse 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more what? Crying. Neither what? Pain, death, sorrow, crying. Thank the Lord, there will be no more. Former things are passed away. No more headache. No more cancer. No more wife beating. No more husband beating. No more adultery. No more stealing. No more cancer. No more brothers and sisters. No more AIDS. No more disease. Thank the Lord. No more. It's finished. It is finished. It is finished, brothers and sisters. It is finished. Oh, yes, you are special people. You are holy nations. It says here in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, ye are chosen generation. You are a peculiar people. You are special in God's sight. You are God's son and God's daughter. So let your light shine before men, that they may see Jesus Christ, and they will come to glorify the Father in heaven. Yes, I'm going to stop now, because I want to come back next time. But yeah, brothers and sisters, it's a joy. It's a joy to serve Jesus. What do you say out there? It's a joy to love God. It's a joy to be a Christian. It's not hard. Some people say, it's hard to be a Christian. You think it's hard, sister? Oh, no, it's not hard. Oh, yes, I know what is hard. The Bible says the way of the transgression is hard. But my yoke is easy. You see, all you have to do is yoked up with Jesus. You got to take off that yoke and yoked up with Jesus. And when you yoked up with Jesus, all things are possible. All things, you can do all things through Jesus Christ which strengthened me. So it's not hard to love your enemy. It's not hard to be kind and loving. It's not hard to greet somebody with a holy kiss. It is not hard. It is easy when you have Jesus Christ. Amen. It's hard when you're trying to do it yourself. It's hard when you're trying to walk your way to heaven. It's hard when you're trying to obey the commandments of God. It is hard when you're trying to do these things. But when you're yoked up with Jesus, it's easy. My yoke is easy. And my burdens are light. Oh, yes. It's light, brothers and sisters. And as I close now, and I'm going to close with, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Revelation 3:20, he says, "And behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and I will sup with him, and he with me." So Jesus is standing at the door knocking. The story is told about the daughter and the father was walking through the paintings, and so there are a lot of painting in those, what do you call it, museum? Yeah, so they came to a picture with Jesus knocking at the door. And the little girl said, "Daddy, what's that?" Oh, and the daddy said, "Oh, that's Jesus knocking at the hearts of men and women, knocking." And as they continued walking, the girl was still looking at the picture, and the daddy stopped and came back and said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, Daddy, I was just thinking, did he knock at your heart? Did he knock at your heart?" "Oh," Daddy said, "of course he knocked at everybody's hearts. He knocks at everybody's hearts." But the girl was still looking, and Daddy came back again and said, "What's the matter? Why are you still looking at the picture?" "Oh, Daddy, I was just thinking about you. Did he get in? Did he get in?" That's the message to us this morning. Every Sunday we come to church. Did he get in? Every Wednesday night in prayer meeting and Bible study. Did he get in? Every day we read in the Word of God. Did he get in? Because he's always knocking. This morning, if you believe that God is knocking at your heart, and you want to let him in, I want you to stand now. Just stand wherever you are. If you believe that, that's part of, I want to stand and say, "Yes, Lord. I believe that I want to get in. I want you to come into my heart. Just come into my heart. Come into my heart." You know, can we sing that song, "Come Into to Me"? You know that one? "Come into my heart, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." Yes. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. We thank you for saving us by your grace, your power, as we go out there to share and to love and to do the things. Give us the power. Empower us with the Holy Spirit. Baptize us afresh, Lord. Bless your people. Bless your church. And Lord, we thank you for all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. God bless you.